value to you, your family, and your business. We are proud to be the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots and would welcome the chance to provide security for your team. For more information, visit crossinsurance.com. Cross Insurance, where security meets strength.
Dr. Jacob Valley of Bangor Dental Associates explains how they handle patients who might be anxious about a dental visit.
Dentistry's come a long way in the last years, and people come in who haven't been in a while and are shocked at the technology and how much smoother everything operates. If you come in and you haven't been in a while, just at the first appointment, you'll be amazed at how comfortable you'll be and how we make you feel really special and at home at this place.
For more information about Dr. Michelle Speckhart, Dr. Jacob Valley, and the team at Bangor Dental Associates, call them at 207-947-7503.
I'm all right if you ask me, but you never do. Is this thing on? I'm coming at you from beside a dirty canal.
Hey, we're back on deck. That's 4:43. Time for a message in the bottle brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us in studio. Hello, sir.
What's up, Radioland? Is this thing on? I can't hear my soothing voice. Uh-oh. I don't... Oh, there it is.
It was bound to happen.
It was bound to happen, folks.
Carry out today.
Carry, come back.
I made it 44 minutes without a screw-up.
You owe these folks another 15 seconds of my voice at some point. I mean, I'm just saying, right is right.
You don't have to go.
I do have to go.
You get kids to pick up.
Oh, my, do I have stuff. I don't even know where I am. I'm glad I'm here. I was worried at a couple points today that the staffing thing, not to sidetrack all talk of wine, but it's not a joke. I mean, is there anyone out there who is like fully staffed and like, yeah, we're good? I mean, look, even Carrie is in here.
Right? Tell me about it.
It's on.
One man band, for God's sake.
That's all right. Some of the best bands I've ever seen are one man bands. And some of the worst bands I've ever seen are the bands with just one too many people. So there you go. I'm not naming names. By the way, the name of that band that you all were just... This is a little background into, you know, what I do on Tuesday mornings. I remember I'm supposed to be on this program, usually because Rich... I see my picture alongside with everyone else appearing today, and I'm like, oh, that's right. So I search some sort of, you know, keyword in Spotify and try to find some sort of, you know, tune to go along with what I'm going to talk about. And today is the Frenchinization of Spain. And so that was a song called French Press, but I love the name of this band. It is the Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever, which also, by the time I was done typing that out to Rich this morning, realized why they're not more popular. You cannot, that's exhausting. You right. Got to go shorter, or have NKOTB or something that's easy to throw out there.
I did like their video, though. That was pretty good.
I actually listened. I was like, oh, this is a really cool song.
Yeah.
And then it led me back to my love of the Afghan Whigs. Because they kind of reminded me of them, and I had a delightful trip down memory lane this morning.
I'm so happy.
All because of this appearance on Rich Kimball. So
there you go. That's what we do. We try to provide a tiny sliver of happiness.
Thank goodness for that, because I think everybody out there needs more than a sliver these days. And perhaps slivers would be irritating, so let's try to give them more than a sliver.
Well, when you're here, we go for chunks.
That's right. All right. I'm a chunk of happiness, folks. I have never been described that way. I probably shouldn't be. That's all right. So yeah, today we're in Spain, right? We're in the Iberian Peninsula this whole month, and the title for today, as longtime listeners will remember, the Tempranillo Belt and the Frenchinization of Spain. So last week we talked a little bit about Catalonia, which is technically part of Spain, but is also sort of part of France and sort of its own darn thing. And they're the ones who do cava and stuff. But the reds, I guess, that Spain is most known for. Are the ones that are based on this grape Tempranillo. So let's talk a little bit about Tempranillo first, and then we'll talk about the rest of it. Tempranillo is it's a tricky little grape. It's got a quicker ripening cycle than other famous red grapes. Why is that important? Because Spain is a very elevated country. In fact, it is the second highest, and this is not a marijuana joke, it's the second most elevated country next to Switzerland in Europe, in sum total. When you land in Madrid, you are quite high above sea level, and even though when you are at sea level, when you come in, it is remarkably quick, the rise. If you ever look at a topographical map, of Spain. It's really quite surprising, and there's a lot of mountain ranges that factor heavily into the winemaking, of course, as well as other, you know, aspects of you know, geographical. My brain is fried today, folks. By the way, I'm not going to pronounce anything right. You got to forgive me. But it's a very vital part of it. So Tempranillo in the early 1900s. So everybody got to, let's remind everybody of my favorite bug, right? The phylloxera louse, and this plays into why the French came pouring into Spain. But the phylloxera louse came from botanical clippings from North America and destroyed, ate the root stocks of 99% of the vineyards in Europe. It was only in learning that grafting those Vitis vinifera vines onto North American rootstock that saved European viticulture at all. So indeed, phylloxera had played a big part, and then to recover from phylloxera, instead of, you know, the older practice of planting a bunch of different grapes, and if you read, there's a treatise written in 1910, I believe it was, on the wines of Rioja, and the, I believe it was 81 different varieties that they used in it. Well, today, if you buy, you know, red Rioja, the chances are it is predominantly, if not all, Tempranillo. And this was, you know, a scene that sort of played itself out in much of Spain. A lot of other varieties were ripped up in favor of this grape because, frankly, they needed the viticultural industry to survive. And it was a grape that ripened and you could sell it and you can count on it. And it's a good tasting. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love wines made out of Tempranillo, but it's an interesting aspect. And in places like Rioja, especially where you are allowed under the laws to use other grapes, there are people, you know, starting to go back to grapes like Graciano, Maturana Tinta. There are people researching, and you know, when a farmer will find you know, a little patch of maybe grown over vines or something on their property, they'll go to some of these folks researching and say, hey, you know, this might be something, what is old is new again. And so there are some interesting small projects that are slowly reintroducing some of these other grapes, but predominantly Tempranillo is the grape in Rioja. What I call it the Tempranillo belt, though, because it stretches really from just below where the Basque country is, the city of San Sebastian, in the little crook of the Iberian Peninsula between the west coast of France and the northern coast, I guess it is, of Spain. You drop down a little bit and you start to get into that more mountainous area, and you find a place called Navarra. Navarra uses predominantly Tempranillo as well, though you do find Garnacha and some other wonderful grapes there. You find the grape Vallura, which is the white grape that actually we are sipping on right now. It is a white Rioja, which is just below Navarra. And Vallura grown there. We are sipping a white Rioja made out of Vallura.
Oh, and it is wonderful.
Oh boy, it hits the spot. It's cooler than it's been, but it's still thick out. And so a nice white wine. And this is El Coto Rioja, white Rioja. And it is fabulously inexpensive and cold right now at Bangor Wine and Cheese, in case you need one. So you have Navarra just below San Sebastian. And this is where you start to see this start of the, it's not really a belt, it's more of like a bandolier, right? Like Chewbacca war or something like that. This is where it stretches from Navarra, but then you get to the Douro River or the Duero River, depending on which country, Portugal or Spain, you're in. And that sort of flows, you know, diagonally through places like Ribera del Duero, Toro, and then eventually goes through the Portuguese border and runs all the way down to the famous town of Oporto, where port is aged, not made. It's the grapes are grown farther up the Douro in the Douro Valley in Portugal. But that's sort of the swath of that bandolier goes from Navarra all the way down, if you can imagine the Iberian Peninsula being, you know, a torso. That'll sort of give you an idea. It is one of the places where it was really struck home to me when I was visiting there how mutatable grapes are. Every little valley you went into, it was the Tempranillo grape, but they do not call it that. It will be Tinta del País, so the red wine, the red grape of the country. It will be Tinta del Toro, the red grape of the region of Toro. Now, are they technically Tempranillo? Yeah, they are, but every little place, every nook and cranny that you can grow grapes will grow grapes differently. And indeed, when you're talking about, you know, not just microclimates, but sort of macro-microclimates, like, you know, whole regions, the grape does turn out differently. So it's really wonderful, and it's also difficult for me because I know that we are probably not experiencing the diversity that probably, you know, could be experienced. And with climate change, who knows? You know, things are, it's sort of ever-changing. So there are concerns about a grape that has a quick ripening season. Maybe you want grapes that are actually a little bit hardier and more built for sun, like the Garnacha, which is, you know, thrives along the Mediterranean coast. So who knows? You know, time will tell. That sort of touches on the Tempranillo thing. Next week, I'll try to hit the sort of other important Spanish grapes and regions before we move on to Portugal. But if anybody has, you know, any questions or anything like that, of course, just reach out to Rich and he can tell me, or just reach out to me at the store and I can extrapolate further. Aside from that, I just wanted to mention that our wine of the week is both versions of the Bleuet, or Bleuet, but Bleuet, which is a main product, both Method Champenoise and Method Charmat, which is the way they make Prosecco, made from wild Maine blueberries, made by a California-based winemaker named Michael Therrien, but made here with his childhood friend and their little crew. And they are both fantastic and really nice ways. And of course, this is the time of year when everybody is remembering their dear friends in Maine, and hopefully you have an extra bedroom or two. It's a nice way to celebrate seeing friends from outside of state. So do check those out. And I'm probably out of time. Am I out of time? I've got one more minute.
About a little over a minute.
All right, we got a little over a minute. Well, then we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk really quick. I brought Rich a little treat. I brought him a treat today. Besides, yes. Besides the wine,
I am so excited.
Besides the wine, but for anybody who knows or doesn't know, I love it when Rich interviews anybody or talks about That Thing You Do, the wonderful Tom Hanks movie. So last week we got to talking about it, and I heard a bunch of people talking about it this week. And I guess Tom Hanks, maybe he turned, it was his birthday or something, yes, this week. Okay, that's why he was sort of on the scene. So I brought Rich. I mentioned last week that of all the talk about this wonderful, wonderful movie, a movie about a band from Erie, Pennsylvania. It makes you feel good. You got to watch it, folks. And the tune will stick in your head, written by a Jersey guy. But I brought him the two DVD set thing, which has the extended cut. And there's a very, very well-known football player that I wouldn't have guessed would have played the role of the lover of the Tom Hanks character. But if any... Oh, there it is. Yeah, Mr. Downtown. Check it out, folks. The extended cut of That Thing You Do. If you're a fan of the movie, and I hope you are, check out the extended cut. It is worth every extra minute of the 40 extra minutes. Check that out. I have a deep and abiding love for this movie, and I think it'll make you all feel better. We did all need, right? We needed a chunk of happiness, not a sliver.
We got it.
I just gave you a chunk of happiness in solid advice. I'll join you all next week. Cheers.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for all of it. And we'll see you next time. News up next from CBS. Back with Colin Fleming, Dennis Price, in Hour 2 of Downtown.
There's no green thumb necessary with Plants Unlimited in Trenton.